Can I run to? Golly, man, everybody good? Happy to be back in church. Do y'all want to go back in the parking lot? We could do, it's a beautiful day. We can run outside real quick. Oh, you sure? I mean, it's nice and warm out there. Clayton wore his good shoes, so it'd be a great day to be out in the parking lot, don't you think, Clayton? No? Well, I've been trying to land on what we need to talk about. This is kind of strange. What we need to be talking about this morning and what we need to focus upon. Golly, this is weird. And it wobbles. Oh, my gosh. No, this is... I'm happy with this one. I love this. No, don't, Justin. I'm good. Thank you. Seriously, I'm good. So it won't wobble? Actually, I want you to come up here and put your foot right there and just hold it the whole time. Oh, yeah, put your finger under there. That would work. I'm sorry, Pastor Ginger. It's cute. It's cute. It's cute. Oh, let's go. 2 Timothy, if I could find it. I feel like I'm in eighth grade looking for my homework. 2 Timothy. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. Thank you very much. It's after 1 Timothy. Find 1 Timothy, then you have 2 Timothy. Gotcha. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Nothing like help from the masses. Appreciate it. Heckled from the jury. Thank you very much. Where's Joel Gray when you need him? Bada boom, bada boom. Amen. So, all right, I was trying to land on what we needed to talk about this morning. It took me a minute, all right, to get here. It took me a second. And we're going to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 is where we're going to land at. And this last little bit that we came through with the COVID-19 whatever and the coronavirus issues and we pretty much changed our lives almost completely. Coming out of that thing, and y'all all know how I felt about that in the big midst of it. I tried my best to be non-vocal, but I just couldn't help it, you know. And then now we've got the stuff going on in the country, you know, that it just terrible. And I've just kind of noticed that we all tend to kind of look at everybody else and say what everybody else needs to be doing. What everybody else needs. I mean, that's what's going on in the cities where they're burning stuff and looting. They're doing that because they feel like somebody else ought to be doing something different. So they're seeking the change in someone else, and they're lashing out to get that change in somebody else. They're looking to somebody else to try to make their lives better. They're looking to another situation to try to make their lives better. My life is not the way that I want it to be, so therefore you need to change to make my life the way it needs to be. That's the way the world thinks. It's exactly how we think. The world thinks that way. If it's not the way that I want it to be, you need to change so that I can have what I want. And that's what's really going on in our country today. That's what's going on in our world today. That's what we're starting to see. You know, and you would think it would be the exact opposite. You think people would get more selfish and start looking in, but they're not. They're looking out. The selfishness is lashing out, reaching out, trying to change someone else so that I could get that thing that I covet. That thing that I kind of think about. You know, I want to have whatever it is that I want to have. I don't have it. It's your fault. You change so I can get my stuff. That's the world that we live in today. It's the way it feels to me, at least. When I hear people talk, it's always, you know, so-and-so needs to do this and so-and-so needs to do that. But the Bible surely and wholly does not teach us that way. Let's go to, and that's how I got here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, if you put it up on the screen, I would appreciate it. When I call into remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. When I call to remember the genuine faith. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he's telling him that there is a legacy that's been left in his family That there's a legacy that's there, that there's a bloodline there. There's a bloodline not only of habits and genetics, but there's also this spiritual bloodline that's passed down, that's been passed down through his grandmother into his mother and then into him. And this thing that Paul is reaching out to and calling for and wanting to see produced in Timothy's life is this thing that he calls genuine faith. He calls it genuine faith. It's genuine. The King James Version, which everybody knows that Paul originally wrote in King James, right? It was King James English, right? That's what you speak when you get to heaven. You don't speak tongues or anything. It's King James, dadgummit. But in the King James, everybody, never mind. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. In the King James, it uses the term unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith, genuine faith. If you go to more modern translation, the Passion Translation says, as I think of your strong faith, the Message Bible says your honest faith. And I really, really, really love the Amplified, the old one, not the new one, the old Amplified, the real Amplified Bible, not the new one. The new one, I don't know where they got that from. Like somebody took the Amplified Bible, which was really a good Bible because it amplified stuff. Call it the Ladies Bible because there's twice as many words in it as normal. The Amplified, the classic edition, is what you have to look for. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. I'm going to pull that again. I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Paul was asking Timothy to remember and to call upon that which was in the inside of him. He was asking him to call upon and looking for that genuine, real faith. Something that was not fakey and phony. If you look up the Greek word, that, because we all know it was King James, but the Greek word that's behind this, whenever Paul actually wrote it down, hypocrisy keeps coming out. A hypocritical type of faith. See, we have to realize, especially in circles like ours, we don't have denominations, we have circles on this end. So in circles like ours, we have a tendency to go, hey, well, I'm going to have faith for this thing. I'm going to believe God for this. I'm going to go after this. And I'm not throwing stones or anything, but sometimes we... I can't go down there, can I? So I can. Sometimes we have a put-on that we run into. We say the right things, we do the right things, but it's a feigned faith. It's a put-on is the best that I could describe it. You know, that you act as if you're in faith, you say the right things, you may even do the right things, but there's really not an unfeigned, a true 100% real trust in God's wisdom, power, and goodness to bring to pass what it is that you're believing for. I'll use the COVID as an example. By his stripes, we were and are healed, depending on where you read that in the Bible. That's what it says. So the stripes of Jesus were laid for coronavirus. The stripes of Jesus were laid for the COVID-19. So we have to take our faith, our real faith, and trust in God. Are y'all with me? Trust in God, in his power, his word, and his goodness, the wisdom that he has. See, there's a faith that we live in, operate in. This faith is the one that we use to get saved. I mean, it's the first thing, when you take the first step into the kingdom of God, this faith that I'm talking about, this real faith is that one that's willing to say, hey, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I'm born again. Heaven is my home. You know, that faith, that real faith that's in there is what I'm trying to point to. And it's what Paul was trying to bring out in Timothy, is say, hey, where is that real, true faith? Faith. Where is it? I know it's in you. I know it's been put there. I know that God has placed it in your heart. I even know the lineage of your family. I could call out the folks in your family that I've seen in times past that had this true faith. Where is it? Where is it? And this is what God's been asking me. Where is it at? Where's your real faith? Don't just put on. Is it a put on? Is it just words? Is it just actions? Or is it real? Solid? That was the thing that drew us to CCAM so much. I met Paul and Ginger. I can't remember what year it was. Met Paul and Ginger. And I never ran across such real, true people. Tell you straight up how things are and how they what they really believe. What they're really believing God for. What really, truly is happening. An exposure of self. See, we're so quick to kind of bottle up everything. We don't want everybody to know all our business and all our stuff. No, man, these folks right here, they're like, hey, we got problems too. We believe in God. This is what I'm doing to get it right. This is what I'm doing to make it happen. Real. Sincere. Y'all with me? So Paul is saying in this, he's saying to Timothy, hey, Timothy, I'm calling upon that genuine, true faith that's on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's go there real quick. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And y'all are probably sitting here saying, well, what's this got to do with the current situation that we're in and all that? Well, people are looking elsewhere whenever God truly and clearly says that the real faith that we need in the time and the hour right now is in you. It's in you. It's where it's at. Examine what? What does it say? Examine who? Yourself. If there's something going on in your life, whatever it is that's happening in your life, whatever trouble's coming your way, whatever thing is pressuring you, whatever good that you're walking in, whatever fantasticness that's happening in your life, all of that comes from you. That is a product of what you did yesterday. Today is nothing more than living and eating on the fruit that I produced yesterday. And then tomorrow will be based on and will be a day that I live on and eat on the fruit that I'm producing today. I'm pushing this stuff. We're constantly creating an atmosphere outside of ourselves. That's why Paul says here to examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Don't talk about other folk. Don't say what they ought to be doing. Don't burn a building down. Don't go and rob from folks. Don't call them up and tell them how terrible they are. Dang sure don't post it on Facebook. Examine and test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Look at yourself. Where's that genuine faith? Where's that real, solid, show enough, walk on water faith? Where is it? We need to be looking in, CCAM. We need to be looking at ourselves, checking our hearts. Amen? Amen. Dang. Greg, why you got to... See, every time... Jessica and I laugh because she only calls me when there's a problem. If there's a problem in the church... I'm going to look down and my phone's going to be ringing. It's going to be Jessica Lewis. That is a sign. That is the red phone ringing. I mean, it's tough. It's the bat signal has come out. I'm going to have to change into my Batman clothes. It's going to get wicked. Yes, it. She does talk to me on the phone. Yeah.
She won't answer.
Yeah. No, if I call her, she's not going to answer, but I have to answer when she calls me. Yeah, it's like the hotline to Moscow, like you were saying, Paul. You know, that hotline to Moscow, you know, but when I try to call Moscow, they don't answer every time. Anyway, I say that to say that whenever Jessica's calling, then that means there's probably a problem in the church more than likely, 98% of the time. It means that something's going on in the church, and then that means that I'm going to have to put on my Batman suit and go in and handle something, okay? That's what that means. And it's unfortunate whenever I do get the pulpit, I get that opportunity as well. I always tend to see kind of have a little something where people looking back going, dang, I should have stayed home today. Glory. I'm so happy. Greg's preaching. Yay. All right. I got to go potty. We're to examine ourselves and judge whether or not we are in the faith. We got to look at us. Amen. So how do we know whether or not our faith is real or if it's something that we're just putting on? How do you recognize the thing? Faith has some things to it that we can possibly look at. Where are we going to go? What you want to do, Lord? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith itself has an expectancy about it because there's a confidence in something that's true. Faith has an expectancy about it because there's some kind of confidence in something that is true. You're convinced of something true. And since you're convinced of something true, you get happy and excited because there's confidence that that thing is going to happen. So if we're testing ourselves and looking at ourselves to see whether or not we are truly 100% in faith, there's probably going to be a little bit of excitement and fun and happiness involved in the process. I always use this example, and it's the best one I could come up with. If I tell my kids tomorrow we are going to Disney World, they get happy. I ain't even paid the money. They get happy. Mama gets happy. Get pumped. I mean, Hutton's in town. Hey, Hutton. You know, whenever Hutton's in town, we're going to go to Pepe's. I get excited. People start talking about going to eat at Pepe's. Why? Because Hutton's in town. He loves Pepe. We're going to go eat Pepe's. There's an excitement. I ain't eat no Pepe's. I hadn't paid for it. I haven't even ordered yet. But there is this excitement about that thing that's going to happen because I know it's going to happen and I'm confident it's going to happen because I believe in something that is true. I believe in something that is true. The Word of God is true. It's truth. There is nothing in this world that will ever go and be longer and stronger than the foundation of God's Word. Heaven and earth will pass away. Everything you see, touch, and feel will turn into ashes, except that Word. Except that Word. It's 100% true. So we can look at it and say, you know what? That thing tells me this right here. And you know what? That's 100% truth. And you know, I might get a little bit convinced about that. You know? It's going to happen. Shoot, yeah. And the next thing you know, you start getting excited about it. And you start expecting things to happen. And man, any day now. Any day now. It's going to happen. That's what faith looks like. Amen? Yeah. All right, move on, Greg. It's a joyful confidence in a truth that has been spoken by God. I'm expecting because I'm confident. I'm confident because I'm persuaded of something that is true. I am persuaded that it 100% is going to happen, no doubt. All right. Faith also will have a little bit of love on it, okay? Faith worketh by love. Everybody knows this one. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. How can I tell whether or not I'm in faith? Your love walk is going to tell you real quick whether or not you are in faith. If you just like, I'm in faith and you're pulling a Greg. Yeah, talk to people like I talk to them in Walmart, you know. Sometimes I roll up at Walmart, I ain't right. Especially during the COVID, I was not right, was I? I was not right during the COVID. Just was not. Straight up confession. Love is patient. Love is kind. I wasn't those two things. I don't want to stand 6 foot away from you. Why do I have to stand 6 foot this way and two this way? I mean, you got the 6 foot thing here, but you got the 2 foot. I don't understand it. But anyway,
don't you know it only goes forward?
Yeah, COVID only goes forward. It doesn't go this way. And that shield, I just don't get the shields, man. What's the shield gonna do? I guess it keeps them from spitting on you. So instead, they wipe their mouth, put their hands on the money, and hand it to you, even with their gloves. I mean, you can't stay away from this stuff, y'all. You got to believe God, man. You got to know that the stripes of Jesus were more than enough to take care of the mess. And you got to be confident in it. So confident that you get real happy walking around Walmart with some people. But you got to make sure you're walking in love. Because if you ain't walking in love, then you ain't fueling your faith, and your faith ain't going to work anyway. So faith has a look and feel and a atmosphere of love around it. Some love up in there, patient, kind, forgiving, right? Not boastful, not vainglorious, the King James says. Yeah, expecting the best, hoping the best, looking for the best. Amen? Y'all know this stuff? Y'all looking at me kind of funny. I'm going to go look at it. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4. I'm going to go look at it. Yeah. Last time y'all heard this was at the last wedding you was at. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. And it thinks no evil, which means to keep an account of somebody doing something to you. You know, there they are right there. Last time I was in Walmart, they spit on me and I got the COVID. I ain't going near them again. Shoot, crazy people spitting on me, trying to get a rib. Meat shortage, whatever. A pile of ribs in there. I can have six if I want them. Anyway. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. If we want to see to it that our faith will not fail, we have to 100% walk in love. If you're looking at yourself and you ain't seeing a whole lot of love, there probably ain't a whole lot of faith. It's just a bunch of talk. And it ain't got no real behind it. It's just some straight up phony. We'll get off that. We'll go somewhere else. I stay there 24/7. I told you I was going to hit on love. I was talking about, Paul asked me the other night, what you going to preach? I was like, I have no clue. You know, like he'll work on his sermons for like a week. You know, he's like getting them and putting them together, and he'll call me and we'll talk and we're, you know, going through. And then whenever it's my turn to preach, he'll call me and it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I'll just throw some stuff out there like, man, I think I'm going to have to talk about love, but I don't want to, you know. Yeah, he told me he couldn't talk about it, so I might as well. Yeah, I'm going to stay on it. All right. So, for God so loved the world, he did something. He gave. He gave in faith. Why was it in faith? Because his love was active. He not only has love, he is love. The 100% of love that we can walk in is 100% of God that we can walk in. If we're not walking in love, we're probably not walking in God. Because God is love. So therefore, if we're not exercising and walking in that love, God is probably not present in what's happening. How can we expect for his word to come to pass when he ain't even around? Wow, man. While your faith is operating, if you want to use real, true, 100% faith, if you want to know why it is that stuff just don't seem to work out, we need to be looking at our love walk. Are you being patient and kind with people, especially at the house? Aren't y'all glad I preached this morning? I mean, why can't I have one of those where it's just like, woo, and everybody falls down and I walk by and I go, why can't I have those? Yeah, it'd be fake though. I don't want no hypocrisy in here. Yeah, you got to wear a mask. That's right. Can we lay hands on people? I did this morning. Okay. You got a 6-foot reach. That's funny. You can lay hands on Hutton if you got a 6-foot reach. I'm going to get a stick, put it on your head next time. Yeah, got you, bro. Uh-oh. Battery's running low. That means I got to hurry up. Right. We had no. We ain't never stopped laying hands on people. Never will. In fact, in the big middle of the COVID, we said, call us. We'll come to your house and we'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. And by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. So we go come in there and let you see about it. Amen. In a minute. We ain't afraid of nothing. Because it's real. Real faith ain't scared at all. Ever. Why? Because our faith is truly placed and put in something. I do want y'all to go here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. 23 and 24, half of you could quote it. But verse 22. Small little scripture. Not much to it. It's got a lot to say. That's right. That's right, Fisher. All right, so let me bring you up on, let me paint the picture for this thing. Jesus and his disciples are walking up. They see a fig tree. The fig tree looks like it's supposed to have fruit on it, but it don't, like most Christians. And anyway, he goes up to the fig tree because it looks like it's supposed to have something on it that it doesn't. Anyway, and he looks on there and there's no fruit there. So he says, let no man eat fruit of you ever again. And the disciples heard him. He leaves there. He goes into town. That's whenever he flips over the tables and kicks out the money changers. My father's house will be a house of prayer. Comes back the next morning and Peter says, Lord, look, the tree that you cursed is dried up from the roots. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered him and said, have faith in God. Crazy. What kind of answer is that? He just cursed a fig tree. It's dried up from the roots. And Peter's like, hey, man, that thing happened. And Jesus said, you got to have faith in God. You know, well, that's not where he stopped at. But the first thing out of his mouth, have faith in God. Have faith in God. See, we have a tendency to put our hope and our trust in pretty much everything but God. We're gonna place our hope and trust on, I'm trying to think, our money. Yeah, our stimulus check. How about that one? Stimulus check's coming in any day now. Who got theirs? Oh, what? Got my stimulus. We got another one coming. I ain't gonna go to work for at least 3 weeks. I'm gonna stay at home again. Y'all like that, huh? No, I can't live on $1,200. Ain't gonna do nothing but just make me mad. Keep it. That just makes me mad. That ain't nearly enough. I'm gonna pay the light bill. I'm playing. I'm playing. I don't live in the city limits of Minden, so I'm good. Oops. Sorry, Terry. Love you, Terry. Not T. Bray. Terry Gardner, the mayor. Hey, sir. Have faith in God. Oh, do y'all know who Asa is in the Bible? Oh, this is great. 2 Chronicles. This is so good. I keep money in my Bible to remind me that the United States Treasury put on here, Federal Reserve notes, United States of America, in God we trust, and all that's placed on this thing right here, and this is all based on the full credit and faith of the federal government. God bless you using it. Put your trust in this, you're probably going to fail pretty quick, because this is based on somebody, the faith, full credit and faith of the federal government. Like bonds that are issued by the federal government. This is something I just want to bring out that I think is interesting. And since I think it's interesting and I got the mic, I'm going to talk about it. So the bonds that are issued by our federal government have a AA rating on them. Now, the rating is based on what the quality of the bond is, okay? Now, a bond is basically an agreement between you and someone else that they're going to pay you a certain amount of money over a given period of time. It's very much so like a CD with a bank, okay? It kind of operates the same way. So you can buy a bond from our federal government. That bond is not FDIC insured, okay? There's no insurance on it. They just rate it based on what the credit is of the person issuing the bond. The federal government's credit is 2 A's. GE, 3, which is better. General Motors, 3. It's better. AT&T, 3. It's better. And we go all around the world trusting in this, which is 2A rated instead of AAA rated. Anyway. What you put your confidence in? Man, I love my money. Amen. All right, Asa. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Asa was a king. Before he became king and while he was like first in there, man, he trusted God. You can read this thing. It says he believed God. He went to God. He asked God what he needs to do. I mean, just over and over and over. God, he went after God. But in verse 11, chapter 16, note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. He had some foot problems. Had some bunions. Yep. He came to see diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet, in his disease, what did he do? He did not seek who? The Lord. But who did he go after? Now, see, I'm going to make something real clear here, real quick. I believe in doctors, nurses, first responders all day long. Them folks are awesome. If you're feeling bad, yes, go and see them. Ask them what you need to do because they are there to help you get better, okay? That's what they're there to do. But your healer is Jesus Christ and him and him only. In fact, most of the doctors that I go and see are believers, and they'll even pray with me about the stuff that's going on. That's a real doctor. That's somebody that understands that they're not the healer that God is. Look at this, though. Asa went where? Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but who? The physicians. Nothing wrong with going to see the doctor. I go see the doctor. Everybody ought to go see the doctor. If you haven't seen the doctor in a while, go see one. Just get a checkup. Make sure everything's all right. Doctors are cool. I love them. But we don't seek them first. But how many times has it been that we're like, man, I ain't feeling real good. I need to, let me get WebMD, see what's going on. WebMD, type in all my symptoms and see what's going on. And you could telemed now. Isn't that what they call it? Mandy, what they call that? Telemed? Is that right? I can get on there and I can Zoom with some doctors. I can have 12 doctors on there, be Zooming with them. Which Zoom used to mean something else, but now it means that thing. And so, yeah, be Zooming with them and conferencing with them and asking them questions. And what about this and what about that? And man, this is what you ought to do, Greg. Okay, well, I'll start doing that. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We put our faith and our confidence in what? In the doctors, in the physicians. It's what Asa did. First place he went to, WebMD. Golly, my feet hurt. What could it be? No, that ain't it. Back up. It's more like a bunion. That's what he did. Asa went to WebMD instead of going to the Lord. What happened? Next verse. Verse 13. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. 2 years with a foot disease and died of the foot fungus. Died of a foot disease. His foot got hurt, died. I really ain't never heard of anybody dying of a foot disease but Asa. What'd he do first? WebMD. I hope you're getting the drift here. What are we putting our trust in? Have faith. Go back to Mark 11:22. Have faith. Have trust in. Have your confidence in God, not your money, not yourself, not your family, not your job, not your doctor. None of those things. God says he's a jealous God. In fact, if you go back to the story of Asa, the scripture that's right before all of that we were looking in is that his eyes look to and fro for those that are loyal to him. God's constantly looking for faith on the earth. When he shows up, shall he find faith on the earth when he gets here? Will there really be some faith up in here, or will it just be a bunch of playing? A bunch of fronting. Fakey phony. I don't know. These are the things that God's been asking me. wanting me to look at? What kind of faith you got, Greg? Is it just a show? You just putting on? You just trying to say the right things? What you doing? That's the way he talks to me. What you doing? We need to look on the inside. We need to examine ourselves, folks. And don't blame other people. Don't be blaming other folks. It's all you, all day long, every day. I'll never forget Bill Bush, who founded Living Word Worship Center way back in the day, 1986, 87, something like that. He founded the thing. He had a tape series. We used to listen to tape. Y'all remember cassette tapes? Remember them things? Yeah, we got bags of them at the house. I got probably 15 years worth of cassette tapes. I probably got every message at Living Word Worship Center in there. Anyway, he's got a tape series, 10 stupid things that Christians do. It's great. 10 stupid things that Christians do. First thing that they do is blame God. The second stupid thing they do is blame the devil. Because most of the mess you rolling through is because of you. You done created what you going through today. You done put that bed together, wet it, lay in it, Big Daddy. You done it, get in there. See, if we can just stop long enough and put our faith in God. Take a look at what God's got to say. Lord first. Lord, help me with this. Lord, I need your help on this thing. Man, I don't know what to do. There ain't nothing wrong with saying that. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. That's what they said whenever Jehoshaphat was getting beat up, but he had three ites coming against him. The ites going to come after him. They was coming after him. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Man, I don't know how many times I say that. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue what's going on, man. Help me. 6 foot away from the people. I can't even touch them. There's masks everywhere, Lord. Help me. We have to first seek God. Put our trust in him. Pay attention to what's going on. Take a look at yourself. Really dig in there. Is your faith really there? Or is it just a put on because you know it's the right thing to do? And if that's the case, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but if that's the case, fix it. It takes about 2 seconds. Lord, I've been putting on, man. I don't know what to do. I need your help. That's it. He loves to hear that stuff. Oh, he sits back and he just waits for us to just get out the way and let him go. Let him rock and roll. Let him do his thing. He loves to hear us say, man, I don't know. I need some help. Great. What was the scripture I said Wednesday night? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. God is ready and prepared to show you how to do every single thing in life. He will help you find your keys, and he will also heal your body. He's so cool. Put your trust and faith and confidence in him. Take a look at what we're walking out. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You've been some kind of good, and we love you. We ask you, Lord, to reveal to us where we are short. Reveal to us where we're not fulfilling completely. Lord, we don't want to have any what they call faith failures. We don't want any of that mess around here, Lord. We want to walk in full, complete, 100% real, true faith. Father, we know that it's been taught to us. We know that it is in the inside of us because Jesus lives on the inside of us. And we will follow and act upon the movement and the direction of the Holy Ghost. We'll do it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody agree with that. Say what? Amen. Amen. Go to the house if you want to. Stay for a few minutes if you want prayer.